Turn your tax refund into a new garage door at Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Increase your home's value with a new Ideal garage door. From traditional to modern, Menards has a garage door to enhance your home's appearance. Choose from our large in-stock selection or design your own using our free garage door design program. Check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Nolan.
Hey.
You had an interesting question that you were talking about on the way to the studio.
I was.
When we were driving in the donut team van.
That's right. And I held off specifically so I could ask it on mic, which I will now. How do you become the very best at something? By cheating, of course.
Whoa.
Oh, my God. You got me hooked, like, right away.
Look, everyone lies every once in a while. After all, James and Joe, none of us are without sin.
You said Joe pretty weird.
Did I?
Lying something?
But today, we're going to talk about one time that lying didn't exactly help one car company the way that they hoped. Today, we are talking about the Volkswagen emissions scandal, a.k.a.
Dieselgate.
Fast Gas Podcast. It's about cars, it's not about forts.
Hey guys, welcome to the Past Gas Podcast. If you like Past Gas, please help us grow by giving us a good rating and a nice review on the podcast platform of your choice. It'll really help us out, and I really appreciate that. So thank you. All right, now for the show.
Okay, so this episode's going to be a little different from what we do usually on the show because this is more of like a current event. It did start about 10 years ago, and we're gonna go through the whole saga of it, but it is an ongoing thing. There are still like news stories coming out, so just consider this like a little primer on what Dieselgate is. And without further ado,
this is Dieselgate.
Let's get into
Hey, shut up! Hey, somebody shut up that wolf!
In 2006, Volkswagen had one major goal in mind. They wanted to become the world's leading car company. But becoming even more of an automotive powerhouse was no small task for such a large company, despite already owning so many other different car brands, such as Audi, Lamborghini, Bentley, Bugatti, Porsche, and Ducati, just to name a few. On top of that, they were bringing in nearly 2.75 billion euros or $3.61 billion in 2006 in net profits alone, nearly double the previous years. Volkswagen at the time was undeniably an automotive powerhouse already, but they lacked interest from prospective customers in a very important market, America. The majority of Volkswagens sold in either Germany or China, with America only making up a small fraction of the corporation's overall sales. They knew that getting a stronger foothold in the U.S. market would be the boost they needed to launch directly to the top. So they said,
well, why don't we just make the cars for Americans too, then?
And, I mean, they were in the market for decades, correct? Like, James, yeah. You're a big Volkswagen guy.
Love Volkswagen.
They've been around since the Beetle. Here in the U.S.,
they've been
right?
around since the Beatles.
You know, they're bigger cars, more successful
since
ones.
When the Beatles were around.
That's right.
Not just the car, but the band around the same time. Coincidence? I don't know.
Wouldn't it be cute if the Beatles drove four separate Beatles?
Oh,
to
my
the
God.
Every time. Studio?
Anytime they go anywhere, they're just like a convoy, and they're always leaving.
Do you need a ride, Ringo?
You need a ride with me and my Beetle?
No, I've got my own Beetle.
But, I mean, I can, you know, like the Golf was a huge seller here in the U.S. Jetta,
Jettas,
classic.
Big. The Passats are big.
Yeah.
The vans you see every once in a while. I mean, Volkswagen's a big, big car company. And I think just like every other car company, they had like their ups and downs. And I think it's important to remember in like automotive business, but also just like all world business, is like what we see as Americans isn't necessarily what reflects the world. You know what I mean? Like, I would assume that Volkswagen is one of the biggest car companies in America, but because you see them all the time, but apparently that's not the case.
Is it a fair thing to say that, like, Volkswagen is kind of like the Honda of Germany or Toyota?
Yeah, I'd say. I mean, it literally means people's car. So, like, Honda was founded on the same principle as Volkswagen, where it's like everyone should have a car. It's the same as, like, the Model T, too.
Right.
Like, all of these huge car companies that are thought of as, you know, the national car company of a country. Like, I think Ford is our national car company.
I think it's fair.
Even more than, like, GM, because GM was always, they're huge, but they're a response to Ford. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like all of these companies were started to mobilize the country, and the governments of that country made that possible mm-hmm. by investing in them. And
Mo possible, baby.
Mo possible, baby. And I think, like, you know, most people know, and if you don't, you'll find out pretty soon that, like, Volkswagen is not the is not an exception to that, and their government invested in them, and
yeah, which
it wasn't,
we'll find out.
It wasn't the best government episode.
Yeah. Okay, so that's a pretty simple plan, right?
Yeah, I love simple plan.
Yeah.
Was that the band with a violinist?
No, that was Yellow Card.
Yeah, Yellow Card. Okay, so their plan had a little bit of a problem. Europeans love diesel engines. They're the heart and soul of the European market with their superior mileage, lower fuel consumption costs, and maintenance costs. Diesel engines are the engine of choice in the high-price automotive landscape that is Europe. Knowing this, obviously being a European company, Volkswagen had placed a majority of their focus on the development and implementation of diesel engines. Unfortunately, though, for them, these engines would be a hugely tough sell here in the good old US of A. In the US, there's somewhat of a stigma around diesel engines.
Unless it's in a truck.
Exactly, James. Basically, diesel engines have always been for commercial use and heavy-duty use. You basically had a turbo Cummins in, like, a school bus or a work truck, and that was it.
So is it like, I wouldn't be caught dead driving a diesel?
Yeah, it's like a diesel. What are you, a tractor?
Yeah. I don't want my Audi to be a tractor.
Yeah.
If you asked a lot of people, a diesel engine was loud, stinky, and fairly obnoxious to work.
It's like, I don't know. Like, I got to use the green pump.
Yeah. What is
like
that?
So is this like a special transaction? Do I need a special card for this?
I heard that you have to wear gloves when you drive a diesel. Is that true? Do you have to wear
that
the gloves?
That is actually, you do have to put on leather work gloves to drive a diesel.
Yeah.
Actually, my dad really wanted to get like a diesel, like 2500 uh-huh. back when I was younger. And my mom was like, she totally was on board with
put
like
the kibosh.
Yeah, no diesels. Even though like this was like the early 2000s, like it would have been fine. I think it's because one of our neighbors back in the day named Ernie had a diesel Suburban.
Blue collar name.
Yeah.
1000%. That guy's got calluses all over his hands.
Ernie was cool, man.
Should have worn gloves.
Shout out to Ernie Norfleet. But anyway.
He's like working in his garage, yeah, listening to this on a radio somehow. And he's like, huh? And then a little tiny tear as he like thinks back to like Nolan running around in diapers. And he's like, wow.
Yeah, probably. Anyway, he had a diesel, I think it was a Suburban, and it was really loud in my mom's defense, but I don't know. Anyway, most people barely understood the difference between a glow plug and a spark plug. So the proposition of completely changing from petrol engines, which had been loved since basically the dawn of time here in the U.S., to diesel had always been a major no-no. Probably didn't help that prior attempts to integrate the diesel engine into the mainstream in the U.S. had failed dramatically as well, which soured how Americans viewed diesel engines in passenger cars. Oldsmobile basically ruined any chance of an American-made diesel engine not called Cummins of ever having any real success with their diesel-powered Cutlass Supremes. These diesels were basically converted petrol engines that only had about 20,000 good miles in them until they destroyed themselves. On paper, repurposing a gasoline engine into a diesel engine isn't really that bad of an idea, right? Both engines have the same basic block design. But after a couple thousand miles, though, the Oldsmobile GM diesels would start throwing belts and destroying their injectors like nobody's business. Cheap construction and shoddy business practices led to extraordinarily high premature failure rate on these engines. This disaster by GM left a really bad taste in most Americans' mouths, driving the country even further away from embracing diesel passenger cars.
Thanks, GM.
By targeting the U.S. audience with hopes of selling cars with their engines, though, Volkswagen was already anticipating an uphill battle. But there was one more obstacle they didn't immediately expect, and that was the state of California and its emission standards, which mandated the maximum amount of greenhouse gases that our cars can legally emit. These standards were put in place to prevent smog from taking over large cities like Los Angeles. So yeah, back in like the, I think it was mid-40s or early 40s, smog got so bad one day that Los Angelinos thought that it was like a gas attack by the Japanese. Whoa. So you couldn't see, you couldn't breathe. It was so heavy. Yeah. Like I remember, like my dad grew up in Long Beach, and he said like, this is like in the even the 70s even, like they would have smog days where you couldn't go outside because it was just so heavy. And some days he would have to practice football or go to football practice during these days, and you'd just like
– have to wear a hazmat suit.
Yeah, you'd be like coughing super hard and like just be affected for like a week.
Yeah, that's absurd. And, you know, people complain about laws or California's emissions laws and the fact that they're so strict, but it's like – no, it was like a health crisis.
Yeah.
And that was the response. It's not like California, some guy was eating chickpeas and quinoa and was like, hey, you know what I want to do? I'll make cars less fun for people who like them.
Yeah.
People were getting sick. You couldn't see.
And it's not like, you know, if you are someone who wants to modify their car so it doesn't pass emissions, it's pretty easy to find a mechanic that will, or a smog inspector that will let your car pass.
I just think you implicated yourself.
I didn't do anything. I'm just saying.
You're
talking in hypotheticals.
In hypothetically, it's easy to find people.
We'll get back to more past gas, but right now, a word from our sponsors.
The Volkswagen diesel engineers realized that their diesel motors would not be able to meet these strict emission standards put in place in the States. According to two anonymous whistleblowers, a meeting took place in November of 2006 to address this issue. VW execs met at their headquarters in Wolfsburg, Germany, and decided...
Love that name.
Yeah, cool name.
Hey, what's that actor from Stranger Things, Wolfhard?
Finn Wolfhard.
Dude,
that's
such
a sick name.
Good name.
It's like fake.
Yeah.
It's like too cool of a name.
It's almost like a stage name.
What's your stage name, Joe?
Crumbus Plaid Man.
Oh, man. Okay, so they met in Wolfsburg and decided to try something that was a little bit risky, okay, James?
Mm-hmm.
During this highly confidential meeting, the decision was made to implement a new engine management software that would help, quote, control emissions during testing. Basically, this was software that would be able to detect whenever emissions testing was taking place and greatly restrict the engine in order to meet federal guidelines. As soon as testing was completed, the car would run normally, or as California would see it, poorly again. In 2008, Volkswagen began a massive marketing push in the U.S., marketing its, quote, clean diesel engines. According to the company, these diesel engines were even cleaner alternatives to its competing hybrids, boldly claiming that Jettas and Beetles were cleaner than the Toyota Prius.
But that's the cleanest one.
Yeah, it's a pretty false... How bold is that, dude? Like, you're like, all right, guys, we're going to develop this complicated system that can detect, like, just through, like, the car is always monitoring itself. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, if, like, I'm sitting still, but my wheels are moving.
Uh-huh.
And it's doing, like, there's, like, some sort of testing rhythm going on. I'm probably being tested right now. I'm going to make less emissions.
It's so dirty.
Like, it's this huge conspiracy. But then you're also going to market that your car... is cleaner
than a Prius.
Than a Prius.
Yeah.
Like engineers had to think about this. This is like premeditated. They had to like dial in some software to make this happen. It wasn't just like, oopsies.
I guess. No, this is, as we'll see, it's pretty brazen. Things were looking up for VW. Sales increased and the American people were finally starting to accept diesel engines into their homes. VW had pulled off a huge PR victory. Americans loved their diesel cars, and for about 5 years, nobody suspected a thing. It wasn't until 2013 that things started going downhill. Fast. In 2013, the good folks over at the West Virginia University won a $70,000 research grant to test whether diesel cars produced more harmful emissions than standard control cars while driving. And unfortunately for Volkswagen, the study looked at Volkswagens. At first, the researchers didn't really know what to make of the data they had collected. It didn't make sense how a car that had clearly passed the Californian regulations test were failing at their results. But the results were conclusive, showing that the nitrogen oxide levels from the tailpipe of their Jetta was 15 times the legal limit, sometimes peaking at over 35 times the legal limit. And the Passat was no better, with results varying between 5 to 20 times the limit. What the test had revealed, gentlemen, is that Volkswagen wasn't being honest.
I guess the way that the tailpipe works is like there's a chamber that this NOx goes into. And when it's pressurized enough, then it turns into like a harmless chemical. And then it's expelled. And that process keeps going. Like, but it sucks power because it's like you're kind of just like stopping.
You're not allowing enough. Yeah, exactly. The flow.
So it really sucks power. And what Volkswagen did was just like, I think you mentioned it before, as soon as it started moving, it completely bypassed that system. And it just was like straight NOx gas.
It was obvious to the research team that some sort of defeat device had been installed from the factory for testing. A defeat device is basically a device designed to circumvent certain requirements, okay? That's just a general term. The term is specifically popular in the automotive industry as it refers to any hardware, software, or design that's intended purpose is to interfere with emissions control during real-world driving. But the International Council of Clean Transportation, they didn't want to come forward with the accusations of fraud immediately. They were, after all, a small organization, and they knew that if they went at VW alone, VW had the money and power to silence any of their claims if they didn't have any rock-solid evidence. After presenting their findings to the Regulatory Committee in California, the California Air Resource Board, or CARB, opened an official inquiry into the emissions uncovered by the West Virginia study. Volkswagen was ordered to come clean and turn over any of their defeat code if they had any future intentions of selling the cars in the States. As soon as accusations hit the table in the spring of 2015, Volkswagen began recalling diesel vehicles in the U.S. and shredding thousands of potentially incriminating documents, which they later admitted to doing in court.
Damn.
Not a good look. On September 3rd, 2015, Volkswagen finally confessed to the installation of illegal software to both the Environmental Protection Agency and CARB. Immediately, stocks plummeted from $38 per share to around $25. By the way, I don't own any stocks, so I don't really know.
Is that bad?
That's it sounds bad.
Pretty bad.
You've seen that meme, though, right? Stonks?
Oh, stonks.
Now you understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The CEO resigned while continuing to refuse to admit to any wrongdoing.
I didn't do anything wrong.
I'm just quitting. I don't like this place anymore.
It's just like a coincidence.
Yeah. Look, my office is too cold. I've told you 1,000 times. That was Bernie, I guess. My office is too cold.
On the ground, this was a huge deal to VW employees around the country who had nothing to do with the scandal. People working at factories and dealerships were all wondering who knew what and when. Did their coworkers know? Did their boss? Were they going to lose their job? Within a year of the confession, Volkswagen agreed to pay a $14.7 billion settlement in the U.S. to deal with civil complaints, and included the compensation to owners. VW spent at least $7 billion buying back diesel cars from owners. You might have seen the images on the news of parking lots filled with Jettas, Golfs, and Beetles. As of late March 2018, Volkswagen had bought back around 350,000 cars.
Dude, this was crazy when it happened. Like, so many people I know, like probably 4 or 5 people were like, yeah, they took my Jetta that was like 3 years old, and I got a new GTI.
That's,
you know, like I think, like 1,000%, this was a dirty deal. Mm-hmm. Bad news, really, really criminal. Mm-hmm. Like, just how could you guys think you're gonna get away with this? But I think, from a consumer's perspective, I think I know a lot of people personally who came out on top.
The agreement also included some ways for them to atone for their polluting sins, such as installing networks of electric car charging stations throughout the state. But that $14.7 billion wouldn't be all that Volkswagen would have to settle. In fact, in January 2017, another settlement with the U.S. Justice Department required the company to pay a $4.3 billion fine for conspiring to defraud the U.S. government and violate the Clean Air Act. They also agreed to pay a further $1.3 billion to owners of affected cars that were not covered by the earlier settlements. Overall, this scandal cost Volkswagen over $30 billion. Approximately 43 million cars were tampered with. Not really tampered with, were they? They're just more of
engineered to be deceiving.
Cheat. And about 3/4 of those cars still remain on the road today. But still, 5 years later, Volkswagen is still not done being tried by the government. In fact, only a few weeks ago, in December, the Volkswagen headquarters were raided yet again over the continued Dieselgate scandal. This time, it was over their newest line of diesel engines. Oh, no. I heard. The news is still an ongoing story, so we're not sure what's going to happen. But it sounds like they didn't learn their lesson, and they weren't fined hard enough, it sounds like.
Yeah, I guess not.
It's like the Astros. The Astros, you guys know baseball?
I've heard of baseball.
I know baseball.
Yeah. So they won the 2017 World Series because they were stealing signs, and they had a camera in the outfield zoomed in. Then it relayed a message to a guy in the dugout that would slam a trash can.
I watched that video.
It's insane. You hear it's like they literally were able to track when they were cheating just by looking at the audio file.
Yeah. Well, it's so apparent because it's just like they're just some dude just banging on a trash can like he's in Slipknot or something.
two bangs is like a slider off speed. One bang is just like a changeup. So it's like don't swing on the bangs, just swing on the fastballs, and then they ended up winning the World Series.
Oh my god!
But they got fined $5 million.
Which is nothing for a pro sports franchise.
Yeah.
Like, what do they spend on players? You know, like
that's like less than one person's salary, and then they also didn't get like draft picks, but they're stacked right now, so it doesn't even matter. Anyways, I could go on and on about baseball. Check out my baseball podcast.
Past pitch, fast pitch.
I mean, that's just a word, dude.
Fast.
We should have a podcast called Fastball where we both talk about baseball and the 90s adult alternative rock band Fastball.
It's always summer. It never gets cold.
Get out on the highway.
Apparently that song is about these two old people who went on a road trip and disappeared.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. I was actually, when I was like 5 years old, that song was at its like height, and it was on the radio, and I'd listen to it and be like, man, these parents just like up and left their kids at their house.
Yeah. You know? But, no, it's like two old people.
Yeah.
Every time you talk about songs, it makes me realize that I'd never listen to the lyrics at all. Like, I've heard that song a million. I was in a cover band that played that song, and I don't even know the lyrics.
We'll be right back with more of this story, but first, a word from our sponsors.
The saga still isn't over, guys. Volkswagen is still being threatened by repercussions to this day, over 4 years since the initial EPA charges were filed against them. Multiple executives and employees of the company have been charged and or arrested for their involvement in the scandal. In 2018, a senior manager, at Porsche in Germany was arrested for having knowledge that the diesel engines were incapable of passing inspection. In September of 2019, the current CEO of Volkswagen, Herbert Diess, and chairman Hans-Dieter Porsche,
the two most German name dudes ever,
as well as former CEO Martin Winterkorn.
Winterkorn, good to see you.
Martin Bierstein Winterkorn.
My name is Egon Sauerkraut Winterkorn.
Those guys are all handed criminal charges for their involvement as well. They are being charged for allegedly waiting to inform investors about the automaker's emissions cheating. That's another hard place. I mean, not a hard place. If you're going to lie, then you're already putting yourself in a hard place anyway. But being like, because like all these huge companies, they all answer to their shareholders.
Right.
There's no easy way to tell them, hey, so we're kind of cheating right now.
Yeah, with this whole thing, there's so many decisions that someone made to break the law.
Yeah.
At just like so many people involved. Like if you're going to commit a crime, this is a very bold crime to commit, because then every time you lie to somebody, that's you breaking a law.
Mm-hmm.
If you're talking about money, you know, don't lie about money or I'll put you in jail.
It's a lot of moving parts where it's like, nobody snitch. And there's like thousands of employees like holding secrets. Did you see that meme that was like the children in the cornfield making an arrow where the suspect like ran?
Oh, yeah. While the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission is already suing Volkswagen and Winterkorn over similar charges for massive fraud as well, a recent quarterly report revealed that the company has set aside over €1 billion towards legal provisions, and a large chunk of it is prepared for all these ongoing cases. So, I mean, you have to wonder like how much of that legal war chest, as we call it.
Damn, good word.
Was knowingly set aside for like all these huge cases. I mean, €1 billion for lawsuits.
Yeah. I mean, like 2013, before they got caught, they're like, no, we're just going to like set aside a couple $1 billion in case something happens.
Yeah. I mean, they probably set it aside like after the first round.
Yeah. Like, I have to listen this time, you guys. Like, we're kind of caught off guard and a little bit of cash poor the last time we did this. We're going to do it again. 1,000%. We're going to start. We're going to lie about engines for sure.
Not to bring attention to my last name again, but you know, my ancestors put corn in the silo for the winter. It's kind of the same thing.
A major criticism towards the company has been their inability to make amends for this scandal. The scandal affected more than just the U.S. market, too. The emission cheating design was sold globally, is especially popular in Europe. In the UK, a major class action lawsuit has been continuously raging against the German carmaker since the initial accusations came to light. Almost 90,000 claimants are demanding some sort of compensation, for purchasing VW vehicles during the scandal. As of January 2nd, Volkswagen was still in talks with German motorists over compensation for their massive defrauding of the German car market. The class action suit is among the first of its kind in Germany, actually, and was in part possible due to a new draft law signed in 2018 that allows consumer rights groups to represent customers by taking companies to court. Wow, seems like Germany is very far behind in that regard. People are obviously very pissed about this, and despite it happening years ago, they're still waiting around for Volkswagen to make some amends. In the end, this entire controversy isn't only about how much money VW had to pay to try to make things better. While a whole lot of bad things were revealed because of this, a whole lot of good things came out of it too. The biggest thing that this entire scandal did was open our eyes as consumers to the threat of pollution not only from diesel cars, but all cars. While only 2% of U.S. cars are diesel, surprising tidbit, I think that's just passenger cars, the rule breaking had a much more severe consequences in Europe. The European market has been flooded with diesel cars, and consumers have been encouraged to buy them for a long time. When the scandal broke, over half of all car sales in Europe were diesel. In London, it was found that nearly 97% of the 250-plus diesel models on the road were in violation of emission standards, and not just Volkswagens. In 2015 alone, one study found that the failure to comply with emission standards directly caused 6,800 early deaths. The most up-to-date numbers demonstrate that general pollution, not just pollution from Dieselgate, contributed to the deaths of approximately 1,000 people a day in Europe. The breaking of the scandal revealed to us as consumers that some car makers are willing to jeopardize our lives just to save a few dollars while openly dodging the law.
Yeah, I just want to mention, you know, as the Volkswagen, as the dubber in the room.
You're the big dubber.
Volkswagen screwed up. Very dirty. Very dirty deeds. But it's not just Volkswagen. It's rich guys. It's all these car companies. Like Opel, Chevy,
Renault,
Daimler, Fiat, Mitsubishi, Renault, all those companies were caught manipulating their emissions.
Mm-hmm. One thing I don't really understand is how they're getting these stats that like 1,000 people die a day from this. Is there a specific like ailment that they can tie directly back to NOx?
I don't know.
Snowflake syndrome.
And then you just roll coal out of here.
So I think inadvertently, despite all the bad things that came from this, it's really raised demand and awareness for electric cars. Volkswagen, mm-hmm. They've made a lot of waves. I think it was it last year or 2018, Felipe, when they set all those records with their IDR?
The Pikes Peak electric
car?
Yeah,
the electric car.
Rules.
And they're not going to participate in any petrol-powered
motor racing
motorsports
anymore. But when people are like, oh, Volkswagen, okay, big loss, but Volkswagen owns Porsche.
Yeah.
They own Bentley.
Mm-hmm.
They own
Lamborghini.
Ducati. Audi.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's going to have a huge ripple effect on the entire, on everything. But I just have to wonder if they're being so aggressive about this because they got caught.
1,000%. This is a huge PR thing, you know?
Yeah, it's this really, like we're as media people focused on the automotive industry, it's really disheartening to learn that, like, all these automakers are probably doing this.
Anybody who's dealing in billions of dollars is a piece of shit. There's no two ways about it.
Because you have to think like a robot, yeah. But like a cunning robot.
Like a robot, and the thing that you care about isn't a thing that helps anybody else in the world. There's no such thing as like a billionaire with good morals, because if they were human at all, they wouldn't be a billionaire. That's not how it works.
That's our primer on Dieselgate. All right, so I have been Nolan Sykes. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Nolan J. Sykes. Follow Joe Weber at
@dark_webinar on Instagram.
And follow James
at James Pumphrey
on both Twitter and Instagram. Follow, if you don't watch our YouTube channel for some reason, check us out we're just Donut Media on YouTube. We make good car videos. Great car videos, in fact.
I think so.
Yeah, and it's really fun, and I love it.
And follow this podcast channel. It's called Donut Podcast.
Yeah.
If you're watching this on YouTube, we'll put a... I guess you're already here. Huh.
Well, if you are watching this and if you haven't subscribed yet, subscribe to Donut Podcast, please.
With an S.
With an S. Donut Podcasts.
All right. I love you.
All right. Be kind. See you next time.